Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to the Front Lines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Front Lines of Freedom team really appreciates you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with Gerard Folletti about the Lawfare Project. Next, we'll review the movie of the month. Then we'll talk Service Academy football with Quentin Roberts. And, of course, we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report. It's a pleasure to introduce Gerard Folletti. He's involved with the Lawfare Project, an outfit that we've had on the show before. I sometimes like to equate lawfare to warfare, except they don't shoot anybody, but they are standing up for the rights of people who are being abused. And that's typically why we would go to war if that was the sort of thing was happening. And I prefer to do it without shooting people. So, Gerard, welcome to the show. Glad you could join us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Gerard, start by giving us a little background of who you are, how you got involved with the Lawfare Project, and basically, in a nutshell, what the Lawfare Project does.
Well, let me start in reverse order. The Lawfare Project is a nonprofit that provides pro bono legal services, fighting to protect and uphold the civil and human rights of the Jewish people worldwide. We're headquartered in New York. We are a number of attorneys who work together, and we have a network of over 500 attorneys worldwide to take on cases of anti-Semitism, discrimination, harassment, and all the vile things that are occurring to the Jewish community around the world. I'm an attorney. I'm senior counsel at the Lawfare Project. I've been practicing for close to 20 years now, started off as a litigator. And a couple of years ago, I realized that I had a unique opportunity to give back to the community. One of the reasons a lot of us go to law school is to stand up for the rights of the disenfranchised, the minority communities, the people out there who are suffering lawfare, who are suffering unspeakable abuses. And I found the Lawfare Project, founded by Brooke Goldstein, to be an excellent way to do this, to give back to the community and to help people, to help support and protect civil rights.
Yes, sir. When I met Brooke and learned about the Lawfare Project, she made it clear that that's what we're doing. And one of the things that I found that a lot of Americans don't know is that even in America, there's a lot of anti-Semitism going on, and enough of it to the point that we have to do something about it. And that's why I was delighted to find out about the Lawfare Project. So give us a little more specific. How do you do what you do?
Well, you're absolutely right to say that anti-Semitism is a problem, and we've seen it increasing exponentially the last few years, especially during the pandemic. And we even had a CNN special of all outlets, CNN to run a special highlighting anti-Semitism in America speaks to how deeply ingrained this has become as a systemic problem. And what we do is we help people. One of the cases that I'm working on right now involves a young man who was attacked on the street of New York City for daring to have an Israeli flag near the Israeli consulate. There was a protest, a pro-Palestinian protest. They saw him, they saw his flag, and they violently attacked him. This is the sort of hate crime that's occurring too frequently in society. And what we do in cases like this is we help people seek legal action. We help prosecute, we help get prosecutions for the offenders, and take civil action where appropriate to impose consequences on this behavior. We're not going to have a change in society until there are legal consequences for the type of hatred and bigotry that we see too often.
And it's amazing how much of that occurs. I'm not in favor of any kind of bigotry, but the fact that I am Jewish makes me a bit more sensitive to that which happens to Jewish people in the United States and worldwide. It's not one or the other. It's the whole thing. And stepping up and doing it in public, doing it the right way, that's what America is supposed to be about, coming against things like that and doing it publicly and standing up for people. That's one of the reasons I appreciate you guys. Tell us more about it.
Well, it's not just attacks and physical violence. We deal with anti-Semitism that expresses itself on college campuses, in the workplace, in society. We represent people who have been subjected to anti-Semitic discrimination on college campuses when they are disallowed from having speakers of their choice come in because it's somehow too questionable or too political. Just by expressing your identity as a Jew and just as by expressing your support for Zionism or your national self-determination, that becomes an issue that leads to hate and to violence and to discrimination. And we step in to bring action, to file complaints, and to make sure that this is something that doesn't happen again. In the workplace as well, it'll be shocking to a lot of people to hear that in this day and age, there are some Jewish professionals who are not allowed to take off for the holidays. You have employers who don't understand or don't want to give credit to Jewish holidays, but they perfectly understand every other religion or every other identity in terms of holidays and opportunities. But Jewish people are still subject to significant discrimination. And what we do is we come in to help them in a court of law, to help impose consequences on this behavior, to uphold their rights, their civil rights, to be sure that we eradicate this anti-Semitism.
Yes, sir. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing the Lawfare Project with Gerard Folletti. One of the things that I'm more aware of, because I'm aware of foreign things, is if you go to Israel, the anti-Semitism caused by the terrorists who are attacking Israel, and those terrorists are supported by the UN, that's another version of it. Fortunately, we don't have that bombing kind of things taking place here, but that's certainly another manifestation, isn't it?
You know, that's the scary thing. We don't have that taking place here, yet we have vocal supporters for allegedly pro-Palestinian causes who are calling for systematized violence in the U.S. We hear this on campus and on the streets of New York City and other places, calls to globalize the Intifada, calls for revolution by any means. This is what people are asking for here in the United States. You know, Intifada is the targeted violence against Jews in Israel, yet people want to globalize that. They want to impose that on the people of the U.S. This is how bad it's gotten, that people can actually march down the street calling for violence without any impediment. And this is nothing if not anti-Semitic. It's nothing if not a violation of basic human decency and human rights to live in peace and freedom. And it's absolutely disgusting. This is what we're up against. It's not just over there. It's being brought over here.
Wow, that's a good point. I was not aware of that, but I'm not surprised. That's one of the major reasons. It's the worldwide movement that it's crazy, and we can't tolerate it in our country. I certainly oppose any kind of discrimination, but this is a kind that the media seems to ignore and maybe even support. And it's crazy, it's obscene, it's stupid, and we can't put up with it. How can listeners get involved and get help or provide help or work with you?
Well, the most important thing for listeners to know is that we are here to support them and we are here to fight for them. They can reach out to us online as best. It's thelawfareproject.org, thelawfareproject.org. And we have contact information. We have a form where you can fill out information about the issues that are affecting you. And we will reach out and talk to you. We will see what we can do to help. From a legal perspective, it's important that everyone understands that they are not alone. There are people out there. We are here to fight for you. We are here to fight anti-Semitism. We are here to fight discrimination and this vile attitude that's spreading like a virus in the U.S. and across the world. And the other thing people can do is to donate. We are supported. We are a 501c3. We function with donations from generous supporters who help provide this pro bono service, who help provide counsel for people who need it. Because quite frankly, you need two things. We need people to come forward. We need people to have the courage to fight for themselves and for their rights. And if they come to us, we can do that. Thanks to listeners like yours who help provide funding and donations to our nonprofit, tax deductible, I might add, we are able to provide legal services and help people who are experiencing anti-Semitism and discrimination.
Wow. That is something all we Americans need to be supporting as best as we can. Gerard, we got time for a final statement. What would you like our listeners to be sure to take away from today?
Well, the takeaway from today is that Jew hatred is the world's oldest hatred, and it's still very much a part of society. It's systemic and ingrained, and we all need to come together to fight it, just like we've stood together in the civil rights movement and for every other minority and marginalized group. We need people to stand together, to stand in solidarity, to help end Jew hatred in this lifetime. And one of the ways to do that is to get involved with the Lawfare Project to help us combat this anti-Semitism in the courtroom through policy and through initiatives designed to eradicate this world's oldest hate.
Thank you, Gerard. Well said. Thank you for taking the time to join us today. And thank you for your commitment to justice and American freedom. I appreciate you. I'm glad that we're friends.
Thank you so much. It's my privilege to be here.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll review the movie of the month with Diane Raver. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time to run hard for a couple of miles. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
$30 trillion in debt, 20 years of endless war, and veterans not able to get the care they deserve. These are some of the issues concerned Veterans for America is confronting head-on. At CVA, we aim to amplify the veteran perspective to create a better future for all Americans. But we need your help. Join CVA in shaping a better tomorrow for you, your family, and your community. Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement. That's cv4a.org.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. It's Movie of the Month time. We're joined, of course, by Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival as we cover this month's movie, The Paperboy. So, welcome, Diane.
Thank you, Danny. I'm thrilled to be here with you as always, and I hope you enjoyed this month's film, which I thought was just beautiful.
It is. It's just a different perspective, and you know, one of the things that we need as we grow and mature is to get some insights into other cultures.
Right.
And as we do that, we better understand the world we live in.
Right. I agree. And of course, this film club was started in an effort to start conversations. And, you know, looking at the perspective from that was filmed in Calcutta. And of course, you know, there's poverty there and all that. But, you know, the beautiful way that this story was handled, it was just such a marvelous piece of cinematic art that I was thrilled to be able to share it with you.
Well, it was delightful. I don't know how to put it this way. It was well worth the time to enjoy. And our listeners apparently really enjoyed it, too.
Oh, that makes me happy.
Here's a couple of comments. A little boy, maybe 10 or 12. He sleeps on the ground on a street in Calcutta. He's got covers and blankets and stuff. And then a delivery guy on a bike drops a small stack of papers next to him, and that wakes him up. And that does sort of describe the beginning, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. You know, the part that many of these independent films, the part was when you believe that good people are sending him things, you know, when they drop the stuff down. Uh-huh. And then to find out it was a dream was kind of disappointing. But I mean, there's two main themes here that I think are important. One is so many countries don't have any safety net for poverty. You know, this obviously there's no family there for him. He's sleeping on the street. His only source of income is delivering papers. But then the part where somebody sends him down pencils and some kind of a power bar or something, you uh-huh. know, I mean, it made me think that there's still good people in this world. And as horrible as the news is most every night, there are still good people in this world.
And that's very true. I mean, he really just had a place to put his bed, but it was always there.
Right.
You know, he was apparently not harassed. His one little suitcase was never taken from him. He lived certainly at a level that we wouldn't be interested in living at, but he did, and he was doing okay and not being harassed or
right.
by anybody.
Yeah, that was the good news, right.
Yeah, it was. And for this to be a 10 or 12-year-old kid, I'm just guessing at the age, and society tolerated, put up with, supported him, that's cool. And he gets dressed, and he's really not great, but nice-looking clothes that seem to fit him well.
Yes.
So there's somebody
Except
somewhere
for the beautiful
doing something
shoes.
For him.
Shoes were a little large, but weren't they beautiful? But
yes. He delivers his papers and all kinds of different ways, throws them up to people or sticks them in a mailbox or whatever he does with them. And there weren't that many of them anyway. Maybe a dozen papers, probably not that many.
Right.
But it was what he did. And apparently it was enough for him to sustain himself.
Right.
He ate some food. We're not sure where he got that, but somewhere, either the money that he makes from selling, or somebody provided it for him, or who knows, but it didn't look terrible. It looked fine.
No, he was a resourceful little guy. And that's another thing about human nature, is how resourceful we are under any circumstances as humans. And that's good news.
And he plays on a brick wall. He watches some birds. He swims in a river. He sits near a fire with his blanket around him. That's normal kind of stuff. Washes dishes in the river. And that's a third world thing that you do. But he obviously had dishes from somewhere.
Right.
And whether they were borrowed or whatever, he did what was necessary. And he didn't shortcut it or anything like that, which is strange for a 10-year-old.
I guess we adapt as needed as humans, you know?
Then he saw those really fancy shoes, and he didn't steal them.
Yes, that was the interesting part. He didn't run over and just take them. He made sure that they were abandoned before he took them.
Yeah, he later on saw them floating in the river, I think.
Yeah, they would have just gone for the fish, but, you know.
So we rescued them.
Yes, he did, and that's all right. That was wonderful. The universe was sending them to him, and he had to learn that.
And he stored them for a while, but then he started wearing them. And as you noted, they looked like they were a bit too big for him, but they still worked.
Right.
You can live with too big. You can't live with too small.
Right. And they certainly were rad.
Yes. And then we see him wearing his new shoes, out delivering papers. And all of a sudden, papers are thrown back to him with gifts in them.
Unfortunately, it was a dream.
Power bar or something, whatever.
Right. But it was a dream. That was the...
Yes.
I was and so
then
hoping
he wakes
that
up.
Was true. Yeah. But he did have the shoes.
Yep. But he did have the shoes, and that was the end. And what an interesting phenomena. And it was just...
It was beautifully filmed and presented and directed, and the acting. That little boy was great.
Yes, he was. So, it was a great movie, and our listeners seem to follow along, catch it exactly right. But what an amazing ending. That was cool.
Mm-hmm.
This is Colonel Denny Gilman, Frontlines of Freedom. We're reviewing the movie of the month with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Well, I guess we've done that. And the movie of the month for September is Our Kind of Love. And the Garden State Film Festival will be probably the end of March next year, right?
It will. So if you have a filmmaker, please have them submit to us. And we look forward to presenting, you know, wonderful films again next year.
As you do every year. Diane, thank you. Thank you for your wonderful efforts as a member of the Frontlines of Freedom team. This is so much fun. I really enjoy it. Thank you.
Well, it's a great honor and privilege for me, Denny. So thank you for allowing me to share what we do here at the Garden State Film Festival, which is bring enriching films to our community.
Troops, if you're a veteran who's having trouble getting your disability approved by the VA, contact Barry Law. Reach them at PTSDlawyers.com. Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk Service Academy football with Quentin Roberts, then we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm twice, then take a break, but stay in the area. I'll be right back.
HelpVet.net was created to be the nation's number one resource center for all veterans, active military, and families. At HelpVet.net, you'll find up-to-date information on benefits available through the VA, resources on education, employment, health and wellness, and more. Find hundreds of nationally recognized organizations offering discounts on products and services, as well as local organizations from attorneys to yoga studios. You'll find them at HelpVet.net. Visit HelpVet.net for all your family's needs.
If you are suffering from anxiety, joint muscle aches, or trouble sleeping, try Day 3 Creation, a Christian family-owned provider of American-made, non-intoxicating, non-addictive CBD products created from natural, organic, laboratory-tested ingredients. Day three comes from a servant's heart as God calls us to care for each other with compassion and honesty. 10% of all profits go to Patriot Paws, providing disabled vets with service dogs. Visit day3creation.com to learn more. God bless. Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And it's Service Academy football time. Joining me, of course, is our football co-host, Quentin Roberts. Welcome aboard, bro.
Hey, Danny, how are you today? I'm happy to be here to talk Service Academy football 2022.
Indeed. All of our Service Academy teams are ready to rock. They have full schedules. And this year looks like, well, they're all going to be busy, aren't they?
That's an understatement. I'll tell you what, you know, each team has really a returning quarterback. Each team has returning running backs. Each team really reloads this season as opposed to a significant amount of turnover. And I expect Air Force and Army to continue to have strong seasons. And I expect a strong rebound from Navy.
Well, that's sort of my guess, too. Let's start with Army. They certainly, except for not beating Navy last year, had a darn good season. What do they look like this year?
I tell you, Danny, you're very right. I mean, Coach Jeff Monken has a tremendous program that he has really built from the ashes. I think the General Cashlin will we throw an assist in there to him as well. But, you know, they did lose Christian Anderson, who was one of their leading quarterbacks, but they do return the next five leading rushers from a ground attack that averaged 281 yards a game and ranked second nationally. The star of the show is Tyrell Robinson. The quarterback who will be taking over is Tyler. At least that's what it looked like towards the end of last season. You know, one thing about the service academies that we know is that, boy, things change so much from year to year. But what Coach Jeff Monken has done is he's established really stability as a leader within the West Point program. His recruiting classes have just gotten stronger and stronger, evidenced by receiver Isaiah Austin, who is a 6'4 wide receiver averaging 20.4 yards a catch. Now, he didn't have that many catches, but those that he caught were for big yards and for long touchdowns. You know, defensively, Army brings Arik Smith and Andre Carter at linebacker. Army's defense has really been exemplary the past couple of years, so much so that their previous coach, Jay Bateman, was lured away for a job at a Power Five program, as well as the fact that they've had draft picks. You know, one of their cornerbacks, one of their linebackers, both were signed by the NFL. So, you know, these are really tough teams that Army has on both offensively and defensively. Do we want to give our predictions now, or we want to hold off on that?
Let's hold to the end. What does Air Force look like?
All right. Well, the Falcons, similarly, they bring back their same quarterback, Kazeek Daniels, who's entering his third year as a starter. The offensive line is just truly a ground and pound offensive line. They bring back speed at the running back position, as they have Brad Roberts, who's one of the leading rushers in college football, DeAndre Hughes, who is the speedster, who ran for over 200 yards against Nevada last year. And of course, then they are able to fill in with some backups. One of those who's notable is Zach Larrier, the two-time Mountain West 200-meter champion. So you talk about speed. They've got some real speed here. You know, now, last year, they had a high third down conversion rate. This year, I think that you're going to see their defense take a step back as they lost a couple of players to the NFL and to graduation. But expect, you know, the Falcons to still yield a very, very strong team, especially offensively. But the defense is going to be looking for a few new stars.
Yeah, that certainly makes sense, too. They've got a lot going for them. They've got a good record. And why wouldn't they continue on as they're doing? This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking football with Quentin Roberts. And then there's Navy.
As the caption says, well, at least they beat Army last year. That's how we're going to start that off, right? Because last year, they were 4-8, and it was a long, tough season. There was no bowl game. You know, the Army game was their bowl game for all intents and purposes. Whereas Air Force and Army both went to and won their bowl games. At a 4-8 season, there was no bowl game in the offing for the Navy team. They struggled to find a quarterback last year, but eventually, kind of towards the end, Coach Neil Matalolo found Ty Lavatai. He's a 6'2", 210-pounder, threw the ball pretty well, hit 56% of his passes for 449 yards and ran for another 371 yards and 7 touchdowns. They're looking for a number one wide receiver. Michael Cooper tied the team lead with just 11 catches. Again, our service academies don't throw the ball too much. But when you look at the defensive side, again, they lose their leading linebacker, their leader, Diego Fago, again, to the NFL. You talk about the talent that's going through the service academies. You've seen that both Army, Navy, and Air Force have had NFL caliber players. So there's real talent going through our service academies, and Diego Fago was one of those. So Navy is looking to fill the hole that he leaves at linebacker. Jacob Busick is a linebacker-sized end who made a few plays behind the line, and Clay Cromwell is a quick interior presence with a 292-pound frame to work around. You don't usually get that kind of size at the service academy, so they're excited about him. The secondary is going to be a work in progress. They're going to bring in pretty much all new players there, and they're going to look to the pass rush to help them out as they have to fend off a pretty hefty schedule. And, you know, the schedules, they play in the American Athletic Conference, and so it's not going to be anything that's going to be easy for them this year. So the Navy team, we expect them to rebound, to get on at least the winning side of things. But that AAC schedule is a tough one. And, of course, they have Air Force and Army and Notre Dame dotting that schedule as well.
Yes, sir. Well, we got about 1 minute. What's your projection? Talk to us about what it's going to look like.
Well, if we go back to Army, you know, Army last year was 9-4. I don't see them really taking the lid off of that very much. I'm going to go with 9-3 in the regular season. They'll go to another bowl game. And, you know, but for a 3-game skid, they lost to Ball State, Wisconsin, and Wake Forest. You know, where they only lost, well, oh, I forgot Navy, of course.
You had to keep saying that, didn't you?
Then there's Air Force. I think Air Force is going to, you know, continue. Last year they were 10-3. I'm going to go 9-3 there. And for Navy, we're going to go 7-6.
Okay. There it is, folks. The first games are played the first weekend in September. Oh, and that's next weekend, and we'll be reviewing the games the following weekend. We talk about the game that each of them played. Quentin, thank you for your insights. Thanks for being part of the Frontlines of Freedom team. It's going to be a fun season.
Danny, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to providing some good interviews for our listeners as well as we spice up our programming just a little bit for them.
Thank you, bro. Troops, if you're a veteran who's having trouble getting your disability approved by the VA, contact Barry Law. Reach them at PTSDlawyers.com. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 60 this time? Once your ranger ready, then stand at ease. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
Nearly 30% of veterans have disabilities caused by military service. At Berry Law, we fight to make sure that every veteran receives full compensation for their injuries. Our team of attorneys, veterans, and former VA employees have helped veterans recover over $100 million in back pay from inadequate VA decisions. For a free consultation, call 888-883-2483.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at Danny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first comment?
Well, Charlie, a former Green Beret, is disgusted at the clear political bias being shown by our nation's law enforcement. This is not the nation he fought to defend.
Charlie, I agree with you. Check with Concerned Veterans for America on some things to do. Fortunately, most of our local law enforcement is not a problem.
And Tom, a Navy vet and former police officer, really agreed with your comments last week. The illegal aliens are being totally financed by our federal government. This has to stop.
Tom, you're right. It's time to get active politically and otherwise. Everybody, you need to at least email your senators and congressmen and tell them, don't let this happen. Okay, now it's time for military history. What's first, Skip?
Well, Colonel, on September 1st, 1775, in England, Richard Penn and Arthur Lee, representing the Continental Congress, present the so-called Olive Branch Petition to the Earl of Dartmouth on this day in 1775. Britain's King George III, however, refused to receive the petition, which, written by John Dickinson, appealed directly to the king and expressed hope for reconciliation between the colonies and Great Britain. And there was war.
We really did try, but I'm glad we're free. And on 2 September 1777, the American flag was flown in a battle for the first time during a Revolutionary War skirmish at Cooch's Bridge, Delaware. Patriot General William Maxwell ordered the Stars and Stripes banner raised as the detachment of his infantry and cavalry met an advance guard of British and Hessian troops. The rebels were defeated and forced to retreat to Brandywine Creek in Pennsylvania, where they joined General George Washington's main force.
And on September 1st, 1864, Union Army General William Tecumseh Sherman laid siege to Atlanta, Georgia, a critical Confederate hub, shelling civilians and cutting off supply lines. The Confederates retreated, destroying the city's munitions as they went. On November 15 of that year, Sherman's troops burned much of the city before continuing their march through the South. Sherman's Atlanta campaign was one of the most decisive victories of the Civil War.
Yeah, their goal was to make the people of the South so unhappy that they'd tell their government to surrender. And I guess it worked. On 29 August 1914, with World War I approaching the end of its first month, the Women's Defense Relief Corps was formed in Britain. Women in the military.
On 29 August 1916, Congress provided for the first time the mobilization of the Lighthouse Service in time of war by authorizing the president, quote, whenever in his judgment a sufficient national emergency exists, to transfer to the service and jurisdiction of the Navy Department or of the War Department such vessels, equipment, stations, and personnel of the Lighthouse Service as he may deem to the best interest of the country, unquote.
And of course, the Lighthouse Service became the Coast Guard, which can, even today, be as put with the Navy if necessary. On 31 August 1935, President Franklin Roosevelt signed the Neutrality Act, or Senate Joint Resolution No. 173, which he called, quote, an expression of the desire to avoid any action which might involve the U.S. in war. The signing came at a time when the newly installed fascist governments in Europe were beginning to beat the drums of war. Americans had had enough European wars with World War I. We really wanted no part in another one. Of course, that changed, especially when Pearl Harbor was attacked.
On 1 September 1939, German forces bombard Poland on land and from the air as Adolf Hitler sought to regain lost territory and ultimately rule Poland. This was the beginning of World War II.
On 30 August 1945, General Douglas MacArthur landed in Japan to oversee the formal surrender ceremony and to organize the post-Japanese government. He wasn't just there to receive the surrender. He took over Japan.
And on September 2nd, 1945, aboard the USS Missouri in Tokyo Bay, Japan formally surrendered to the Allies, bringing an end to World War II, 6 years and one day after it began.
And on 29 August 1946, the USS Nevada, BB-36, was decommissioned. The Nevada was the lead ship of the two Nevada-class battleships. Her sister ship was the Oklahoma. Launched in 1914, the Nevada was a leap forward in dreadnought technology. Four of her new features would be included in almost all subsequent U.S. battleships. Triple gun turrets, oil in place of coal for fuel, geared steam turbines for greater range, and the all-or-nothing armor principle. These features made Nevada the first U.S. Navy super dreadnought. During the last few months of World War I, Nevada was based in Ireland to protect the supply convoys that were sailing to and from Great Britain. In World War II, she was one of the battleships trapped when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. She was the only battleship to get underway during the attack, making the ship, quote, the only bright spot in an otherwise dismal and depressing morning for the U.S. Still, she was hit by one torpedo and at least six bombs, forcing her to be beached. Subsequently salvaged and modernized at the Puget Sound Navy Yard, the Nevada served as a convoy escort in the Atlantic and as a fire support ship in four amphibious assaults, the Normandy landing, the invasions of southern France, Iwo Jima, and Okinawa. At the end of World War II, the Navy decided the Nevada was too old to be retained, so they assigned her as a target ship in the atomic experiments that were going to be conducted at Bikini Atoll in July 1946. After being hit by the blast from the first atomic bomb, she was still afloat, but heavily damaged and radioactive. She was decommissioned on 29 August 1946 and sunk during naval gunfire practice on July 31, 1948. That's quite a story for a ship.
That's quite a career. On 30 August 1966, Hanoi Radio announced that Deputy Premier Lê Thanh Nghị had signed an agreement with Peking, whereby the People's Republic of China would provide additional economic and technical aid to North Vietnam. China had already been providing support to the communists in Vietnam since the war against the French. When the U.S. became decisively involved after the Gulf of Tonkin incident, China increased the support to both North Vietnam and the insurgents in South Vietnam. It was this support and that provided by the Soviet Union that permitted the North Vietnamese to prosecute the war against South Vietnam and the U.S. forces there.
And on 1 September 1969, Muammar al-Qaddafi, a 27-year-old Libyan army captain, led a successful military coup against King Idris I of Libya. Idris was deposed of, and Qaddafi named the chairman of Libya's new governing body, the Revolutionary Command Council. And what a horrible country Libya became under him. And that's military history for today. It's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, a U.S. Air Force veteran who had served in both Afghanistan and Iraq used her personal carry gun to thwart a carjacker who tried to break into her car while she and her two-year-old son were sitting in gridlock traffic in New Orleans last week. Cherise Taylor, a 15-year Air Force veteran, said she was in her car on Interstate 10 in New Orleans on Friday when a man tried to get into her car, yanking on the passenger door handle. It was at that moment that her military training kicked in and she pulled out her handgun. As the man tried to get into the car, Taylor said she pointed the gun at him and recalled saying, "It's locked and loaded," before the man ultimately ran off. Taylor didn't pull the trigger, but she said she was ready. The man was not apprehended, and no one was hurt in the incident.
Thanks, Colonel. This Air Force vet and mom did a fantastic job protecting herself and her son, and I have nothing but praise for her. Let's go over what she did correctly. First, she had the presence of mind to keep her doors locked and windows shut. This gives a huge added layer of protection to the occupants of the vehicle. Leaving your windows open gives the carjacker options, like stabbing you with a knife or dragging you out of the vehicle through the window. Unlocked doors make the criminal's job very easy. You wouldn't leave your house unlocked, so why leave your car unlocked? If this Air Force vet hadn't locked your doors, she would have then been surprised by the criminal and been forced into hand-to-hand combat while trying to draw and bring her gun to bear. Second, she carried her gun on her person. Only about 1% of the general public carry a gun on a daily basis for personal protection. With skyrocketing crime across the nation, we no longer have the luxury of going unarmed. It's sad that a trip to the grocery store in an American city has to be treated the same way you would a military mission in Iraq or Afghanistan. But it is what it is, and that's where we are in America right now. You need to carry your gun every place you go, and don't forget, you'll also need valuable firearms training. And third, this mom was assertive. She drew her pistol, pointed it at the criminal, and said, "It's locked and loaded." Cherise Taylor is a military veteran, and that gives her a huge advantage over the everyday civilian. All of us who join the military have to assess in advance, in our own minds, am I willing to use deadly force? Cherise had already done that, so she didn't hesitate, and I believe she would have fired her gun if the man hadn't fled. Front Lines of Freedom salutes this brave Air Force vet as she continues to protect her family. Let this story be a warning to would-be carjackers who want to victimize the moms of America. Don't mess with mama bear, especially military mama bears, because they are locked and loaded and ready to take out the trash.
What a great job, bro. I mean, she did it right. Our movie of the month is The Paperboy. You can go to Front Lines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link. You can watch it for free. We'll review it next week. I'd appreciate getting your comments about it. Send them to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Front Lines of Freedom, Russ Duerstein, the new executive director of Concerned Veterans for America, will join us to discuss the state of our nation. Then we'll discuss the Second Amendment with Crystal Newman, and we'll discuss the upcoming football season with Quentin Roberts. Our book, Front Lines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Front Lines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.